Thank you so much, Shania. You know, she's one of the, her and her sister are one of the products of the ministry that God has given us here in Chula Vista. You know, in every church transition, oftentimes people would leave. Sometimes people would disagree and leave and go against, for lack of a better term, new administration. But I'm thankful today that Chula Vista Well Baptist Church has remained open and remained true to the Word of God and just listened to God's plan for our church. Had it not, then I wish I could share with you the growth that God has been doing in these the hearts of these young people that we have here. And Sister Ruth is very aware of it, and I really appreciate her work and her ministry. But I'm telling you, God is doing something in our church. God is using up our church to not necessarily grow numerically, but remember, that is not the ultimate goal of any ministry. It's not numerical growth. It has to begin with spiritual growth. Amen. It has to begin with spiritual growth. And God is the one that brings the increase, the number, the numerical increase. Our focus ought to be just on growing spiritually. Amen. Through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 28. After I preached last Sunday, several people came up to me and had some questions, and I was expecting that, because like I said, the text that we've gone over and that we are going over today can be quite difficult, and it opens up questions as to matters of life and death. And so after I preached last Sunday, several of our members came up to me and I had more questions. And I was expecting that because I didn't quite finish the text. I didn't quite finish explaining it. So today we're going to revisit 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning with verse 12. We're just going to read verses 12 through 15. Just four verses, and then I would ask you to turn to a text in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 12. Once you're there, say amen. So I know you're there. Verse 12, the Bible says, "And the woman saw Samuel. She cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw," remember the message last Sunday, "God's ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived," I want you to underline that word mantle, "and Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself." And right just about now, you're probably asking, well, how do we know it's really Samuel? How do we know it's not an unclean spirit? Well, in verse 15, in the next verse, it tells you it is Samuel. Verse 15 says, "And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" The title is "To Bring Me Up." "And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, and that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "To Bring Me Up." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Old Testament is the New Testament. Concealed in the New Testament is the revelation of the Old Testament. You have to compare both with each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are," underline that word, "asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are once again asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. With who? With the asleep. With those that are asleep. In the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to ask Brother Daniel up back there to lift up his voice and ask God to be the teacher of his word this morning. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So it's one of the questions that came up after I preached last Sunday is, well, whatever happens to these gods that came up with the spirit of Samuel? Well, let me back up for a second. Turn to Psalm chapter 82, verse 1. Psalm chapter 82, verse 1. The Bible says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the lowercase gods. Psalms 82, verse 6. Notice once again, I have said ye are lowercase gods. G-O-D-S. And all of you are, it tells you who these gods are. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 82, they are the children of the Most High. The children of the Most High. Now the Mormons use this verse to teach that man can become God. Can become a God. They'll refer you to this verse and they say, well, look right here. There is not one God. There are many gods, they say. And that they argue that just as Jesus Christ was a man and became a God, any man, any human being, man and woman, can become a God. And that is such a false teaching because this text is not talking about mankind becoming gods. This is about the angels that were called the children of the Most High. Amen? So look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. That way, if you ever come across a Mormon, by the way, they are good people in terms of the society's definition of good. Job chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Now there was a day when what does that say? The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and who else came with them? Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So the term gods or sons of God pertains to these angels, and Satan was one of them. Satan was one of them. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says they came down to earth. I'll go to Genesis chapter 6 with me. Genesis chapter 6. I want to hear you flip through your Bible. That way you'll become familiar with it. Genesis chapter 6. A little bit of a Bible study first so you'll know your Bible before we make an application from it. Genesis chapter 6 verse 2. Notice that term, the same term, sons of God, is found in Genesis chapter 6 verse 2. The Bible says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all them, of all which they chose. There were giants in the earth in those days, in verse 4. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now these lowercase gods rebelled against the mighty God and were sent down to hell with Satan. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 15. on the fall of Satan. Remember? Go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15. Keep flipping through your Bible. Notice what happens to Satan and these former sons of God, I should say. What happens to them? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15. After he said, I will be like the Most High. I shall be like God. I shall sit on the throne of God. After he said that, notice what God tells him. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And that's the purpose of hell. The purpose of hell is for Satan and these sons of God who rebelled against God. Let me show you one more verse. Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 16 and 17. Ezekiel chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. There's a little insert in your bulletin that looks something like this. The purpose of these is for you to jot down the verses as I go through one verse to the next. So you can look at it throughout the week and meditate upon your Bible throughout the week. Utilize these things. Okay, notice Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 16 and 17. Ezekiel 31, 16 and 17. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them. That's them. That's the gods that the woman and Saul, King Saul, saw. With them that descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, and all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down to hell with him unto them that be slain with the sword. Let's back that up with a New Testament text. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Notice how Satan and his angels were thrown down to hell. This place called hell is not for us. It's for Satan and his angels. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Last Sunday I preached about hell. How hell is a physical place. Hell is a real place. Hell is a horrible place. Hell is a place of pain and suffering. But hell is not for us. Hell is for Satan and his angels. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Are you there? Notice the Bible says, for if God, what does that say? Spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to where? Hell. And deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So that's their dwelling place. So when this woman that gave in to the request of King Saul, when she opened up and called for Samuel, she opened up the portals of hell. She opened up the portals of the underworld that when the spirit of Samuel came up, she could not control the other creatures that came up with him. And the Bible says that there were gods ascending and that scared that woman. Now, the other question that you may ask, that I was asked, is, well, what happened to these gods? After they came up with Samuel, what happened to them? These unclean spirits, where did they go? Did they go back to hell? Well, we see in the book of Job how they are free to roam to and fro, back and forth, heaven and hell. Remember? Notice what happens. Throughout the entire Old Testament, unclean spirits are spoken of. When you get to the New Testament, you will find these unclean spirits possessing men, women, and even animals. Go to Mark chapter 5, verse 13. You remember that the Gadarenian maniac? The maniac of Gadarene that was possessed by demons? Mark chapter 5. Notice what happens. In case you're wondering, what happened to those spirits that came up with Samuel? Well, they roamed around the world. That's what they did. And they are still here today. Until, as the Bible says in 2 Peter, they are reserved for judgment. Look at Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 13. For the sake of time. Actually, let's look at verse 8 first. Verse 8. There was a man that has an unclean spirit inside him. Verse 8 says, "For he said unto them, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him," that's Jesus Christ, "saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into" what? The swine. You see what happened to these unclean spirits that came up? When the woman, every time a necromancer, every time a witch opens up the gates of hell, unclean spirits would come up and they roam around the world. That's why when Jesus Christ came in the New Testament, one of his first tasks was to bind these creatures, bind these unclean spirits, and oftentimes he would throw them into animals. Have you ever seen a wild stray dog that's gnashing and growling and would kill kids? Oh yeah. Yeah, they can take the form of animals. Revelation chapter 16, look at verse 13. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. These unclean spirits can either possess human beings or animals. They could take the form of animals. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." They can possess humans. And here's the sad thing. I'm going to take it to a practical level, okay? Here's the sad thing. Sometimes the possessed human being, the possession is often mistaken as a disease. It's often mistaken as a disease. Sometime last year, around November or December, I saw a real-life human cannibal. Everyone called them the... a real-life zombie. He gets arrested for possession of, I think it was PCP. He gets booked and gets through processing. By the time they placed him inside the shower with the rest of the detainees and the inmates, the inmates suddenly were knocking at the glass window, the glass sliding door of the shower. And they're all yelling, "Let me out, let me out, let me out." They're all screaming. They're all scattered, all scared. And so the deputies opened up the sliding door. And so the inmates started running away. And the only person that remained is this guy. His face was filled with blood. His left forearm, he took a chunk of his own left forearm. He bites his own left forearm, so blood's, you know, gushing all throughout that shower room, slippery. He had blood all over his face, and he was trying to bite the other inmates. Real life zombie. And so, they tased him. It didn't work. They tased him again. It did not work, and he kept running towards the personnel. And then, luckily, God intervened. He slips on his own blood and down he fell, and that's when they controlled him. People say, the psychologists and the scientists and doctors are trying to figure out what kind of drug was this guy, was this man under the influence of? What kind of drug was that guy? There was another guy that climbed up a light post and gets up on the top of the light post and jumps head down, crushes his own skull. I saw another guy. This was in front of my very own eyes. he climbs up the second story of a building, and my partner goes, "Hey, George." And when I turn, you see this guy, this body just go, and all you hear is that kind of sound. And we look down, and there he was, laying down, shivering, shaking his own body, having a seizure. He landed head first right here. And psychologists and psychiatrists are trying to explain everything through science. They say, well, it's this drug. Well, they say it's that drug. Well, say it's this mental illness. It's that mental illness. And they try to come up with a diagnosis to try to figure out what is wrong with these people. The one thing they never acknowledge is the presence of unclean spirits. I tell you, psychology and psychiatry can never solve drug problems as long as they keep on denying that there is a spiritual aspect in this world and that human beings are made of body, soul, and spirit. They can't figure it out. I was in a psych hospital. There was a guy who, sometimes if you talk to him, he goes by a guy's name. I forgot what he called himself, Paul or something. But if you do your walks to check on his welfare, you might meet a woman in that same cell. So this person, sometimes he acts and talks like a guy, but next time you walk and talk to him again, he will tell you that her name is, I don't know, Melissa or something, Elizabeth, and begins and refers to himself as that real person, that's a girl. And people try to say, well, that's a split personality, the psychologists say. I am more inclined to believe that no, it's not just a split personality. You can call it any diagnosis you want. But I believe the unclean spirits roam around today. And they're often mistaken as a drug addiction or as a mental illness. The Bible says so. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. You don't believe that there are evil spirits today, there are unclean spirits today that possess human beings? Let's see what the Bible says. Chapter 10, verse 1. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Luke chapter 6, verse 18. Luke chapter 6, verse 18. Luke chapter 6, verse 18. And they that were vexed with what? A mental illness? A drug addiction? What does the Bible say? With unclean spirits. And they were healed. Here's my point. I am not saying that mental illness does not exist. It does. In fact, it is a big mistake not to acknowledge and recognize a mental illness. But to deny that some of these problems are spiritual in nature is a big problem in the society today. You cannot drug or medicate every human problem. Majority of human problem, at least a third of human problem, is spiritual in nature. Spiritual in nature. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For..." You want to know what the cure is? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of..." Notice how many parts of a human being we have. "Even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and of the joints and marrow." That's the body. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. If you don't believe that, if you keep denying that, that there is such a thing as a spiritual power that rules this world today. I want you to see what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. What does the Bible say? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your medication will only cure if the problem has to do with your flesh and blood. But what kind of battle do you think we're battling today in this society? You think everything is about a physical battle? Notice what the Bible says. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against, what does that say? Spiritual wickedness in high places. I tell you, I get frustrated when I listen to psychiatrists and psychologists, and they try to diagnose everything as if it's a physical problem. No, there's a spiritual issue too. Now today, you may not see in the modern world, how many of you ever seen a possessed human being? I know a couple of pastors that actually had, and they had the task of casting that evil spirit out. How many have you ever seen it? Not a lot of you. Brother Romel has seen one? A demon-possessed human being? They're hard to come by. And it's not that they don't exist. It's because in the modern day, there's a different tool that Satan is using to possess human beings. What is possession? Possession of a human being is when you are not in control of yourself. When you are not in control of your own senses and of your mind and your decision making, then you are possessed, aren't you? That's possession. Today, Satan's tool to possess human beings are the illicit drugs of the streets. And today I'm going to warn you about them. The first one to watch out for, I'm going to give you some symptoms and signs and what things to look for. Because if you're not aware of these things, you may have a family member, or maybe you yourselves are addicted to these things once, or you live with someone who is, or you have a neighbor or a friend who is. The first one is methamphetamine. Methamphetamine is a stimulant, a lot stronger than caffeine or nicotine. It's a stimulant that, I'm going to read through a couple of the behavioral signs of a meth addict. Number one, they lose interest in usual activities. Neglecting relationships. Isolating themselves from others. Sudden shift in social groups. Risky financial behavior, criminality, obsession, forgetting important dates, increased aggression or violent behavior, risky sexual behavior, erratic sleep patterns, hyperactivity and high energy, extreme loss of appetite, and then displaying a tick or a twitch. You come across a meth addict, oftentimes they scratch their skin. So you'll find them with their lesions on their faces. Why? Because they feel like there's something crawling on their skin, so they're constantly scratching. When you see one, you'll know one. Because they're fidgety, they can't stay calm. They're constantly scratching their face, and because they can't feel it, They end up with wounds on their skin. They become prostitutes. They become criminals. That's what methamphetamine does. Where do you get methamphetamine? It can be synthesized through as simple as a most of the over-the-counter medications that you have, Sudafed. You know what Sudafed, the major component of Sudafed? That ephedra, methamphetamine. Okay, to modify it a little bit. And oftentimes these drug addicts, when they can't afford the meth anymore, you know what they do? They buy Sudafed, mass purchase of Sudafed. And they would cook it in these labs at home. Watch out for these things. Cocaine is the next one. Cocaine. How do you know a person is a cocaine addict? Here's what you have. You have a disturbed sleep pattern. You suffer from nausea a lot. You are hyperstimulated. You often show bizarre, erratic, and violent behavior. You get hallucinations, hyper-excitability, irritability, intense euphoria, anxiety, depression, intense drug craving, panic, psychosis, not to mention the heart disease, the kidney failure, the brain and lung damage, not to mention any of those things. Irritability and mood disturbances. That's cocaine. Marijuana. Legalized today, right? Legalized at least in California, at least 4 states in the U.S. Long-term effects of marijuana. You'll have changes in brain function. Lung damage. Damage to the reproductive system, anxiety, and once again, depression. PCP, what about PCP? The worst of all of them. I'm trying to skip through all of this. Irregular heartbeat, muscle stiffness, kidney failure, vision problems, shivering, paranoia. You know that feeling that the whole world is against you? You think everything that everyone says about you is against you? It could be the nicest thing that that person tells you, but you always take it as it's against you. It's an attack against you. That's a sign of addiction, a PCP addiction. Delusions. Delusions. People that are addicted to PCP, they have delusions of grandeur. They think they're able to do these things when they can't. They look at themselves higher than they really are. Oftentimes, sometimes they will tell you, I don't want to come to church anymore because I don't believe in pastors. I don't believe in someone having an authority over me. I should be an authority over me. They question authority. Seizure, coma, anxiety, fear, hypertension, confusion, hallucinations, twitching, weight loss, seizures, speech problems, suicidal thoughts. And they want to kill themselves. I tell you, you may not see, I mean, I can go on and on. There's a part of this, alcohol. You think alcohol can possess you? You know how many families are without a father today because of alcohol addiction? See, it's a lot worse than being possessed, per se, with an evil spirit. There is a possession in the society today that is affecting thousands, if not millions, of Americans today. And that is drugs, illicit drugs. But you know, I am convinced they can build jails all they want. They can build prisons. They can build the largest mental health hospital. They can build every house. They can come up with any kind of medication to cure these things. They still haven't, by the way, they still haven't done so, right? Because if that medication really cures it, how come that person ends up getting worse than before the medication? Amen? People with that suffer from bipolar syndrome or schizophrenia, you know what, schizophrenia, you know what they give them? Lithium. Lithium. You know what lithium does? You read the side effects of lithium. Suicidal thoughts. So you go from being bipolar, being depressed, to being hyper-excitable, anxious, depressed, anxious, depressed. Doctor says, here, take this lithium. You take the lithium. A couple of months later, a couple of years later, you feel like killing yourself. Is that better? Or is that worse? That's worse. I tell you, we keep denying the fact that there is a spirit inside of man that needs to be healed by something that is not drugged, that is something that is not physical, but it has to be cured by something that is spiritual. Amen? Your taxes are going towards hospitals, mental health hospitals. They're trying to demolish the place that I work at. They said they want to turn the jail into a mental health facility. It's the largest jail in the United States. They want to tear it down and they want to build a mental health facility. Because they say the real problem is mental illness. No, that's just one aspect of it. The real problem is the spirit of man. Amen? You want to cure the problem, the drug problem in the society? It's none of these drugs, none of these mental institutions. You have to first recognize the spiritual demise of the human soul. In the Bible, you know, these unclean spirits, they were all in subjection to Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, and they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. You know what happened in Mark? Mark chapter 3, verse 11, unclean spirits, when they saw him, thus Jesus Christ, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. You understand that even the devil, the demons, the unclean spirits, they all bow down to one person. His name is Jesus Christ. I've been in the profession for coming on almost 14 years now. I've seen a lot of things. One of the things that I've seen is when a drug addict gets arrested and they are going through a withdrawal, right? Imagine going, taking the drug day after day, week after week. And then you get arrested. So now you're going to go through withdrawals. Here's one thing that I've seen. It's the most bizarre thing that you cannot explain it with science. Every single one of them, when they go through that withdrawal period, that ecstatic withdrawal period, and they begin to chant, they all chant the name of Jesus Christ. This one young man, maybe 20, 23 years old, maybe 22, can't be older than 25. Quite tall, pretty handsome, good looking young man. Clean cut. He comes inside. He spits on one of the nurses. He kicks one of the deputies. So we were forced to chain him up, to shackle him up. We shackled him up, and he went off on a rant. He kept on saying, hallelujah, Lord, praise your name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Everything was about Jesus Christ. He even got to the point when he sounded like he was preaching the gospel. And every single one of them that goes through withdrawal that I have seen, they all yell out the name Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you something. If it is their upbringing, if it is the culture that they grew up in, why is it that people from Middle East, people from Asia, people from Europe, they all say when they are addicted to drugs and they go through this withdrawal, why is it that they don't say any name of any other God but Jesus Christ? I have never heard someone, a drug addict, go through a withdrawal and say, Allah, 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 Allah. I've never heard of that. Never, it doesn't happen. I've never heard a drug addict say, Buddha bless you, Buddha bless you, Buddha bless you. I've never heard of such a thing. Who else is the Hindu God? A Krishna, 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 you'll never find that. And I'm convinced today the reason why it's always Jesus Christ is because those people are not necessarily under the influence of drugs. They are under the influence of something else. They are demon-possessed. And you try to drug them. Give them some Narcan. Give them some, all of these drugs. You know what I start doing? I start praying. Because I know that that battle that that young man was going through wasn't a drug issue. It wasn't a chemical imbalance issue. It was a spiritual issue. There was a spirit inside of him that was possessing him. That's why he kept on calling Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you, if you know someone today, if you know someone today, you be careful with people like that. There's a very delicate way of dealing with them. And sometimes you'll find them in churches. You meet a Christian who you thought is a Christian. You think is a Christian. And then this person at least shows this signs of they want to be in church. They're so faithful. They're praising God. Next thing you know, they're cursing the church. They're cursing the pastor. And they're cursing. They're everybody. They hate everybody. And a few months later, they come back to church again. And here we are. Oh, I'm so blessed to be here in church. I'm so blessed. I'm, you know, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for the preaching. And a few months later, they're back in the same vomit. You come across people like that, I tell you, that person may be a drug addict. Can they conceal it? Yeah. If there are functioning alcoholics, there are functional drug addicts too. It's very challenging. You pray for me. I'm dealing with a couple of people. It's very challenging because it takes experience, you know, with dealing with people like that. It takes the legal knowledge. It takes the medical knowledge, and it takes the biblical knowledge to deal with issues like that. Very tough. Very difficult. You pray for me. But I want you to know, Christian, you know, in the Bible, Jesus Christ gave the disciples power over these unclean spirits. It's not every Christian can cast out these evil spirits. When the apostles, they tried to cast out an evil spirit, they couldn't. You know what Jesus Christ told them? He said, this kind comes forth but by prayer and fasting. I tell you, if you think you're a Christian, and because you're a Christian, you can cast out any demon or devil from somebody, oh no. The Bible says you have to be a spirit-filled believer to be able to cast them out. If not, you won't be able to do it. And some people will say, Pastor, doesn't the Bible say that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Yeah. That's a statement that God is greater than any creature that lives inside of you. But in order for the believer to cast out any one of these unclean spirits off of somebody, you have to be spirit-filled. You have to be prayerful. You have to fast. And you have to know what you're doing. So that's what happened. That's what happened to this, to these gods ascending out of the earth. When this woman opened up these portals of the underworld, and Samuel came up, evil spirits came out, and they began to possess human beings and even animals. They can't control it. And so with the question, whether it is possible for ghosts or spirits of the dead to return, that's the question I was asked last Sunday. The question I was asked was, does it mean then that it's possible for ghosts or spirits of the dead to return? The answer is Yes. That's what the Bible says. That's exactly what we're looking at here in 1 Samuel. The spirit of the dead came up. There's a growing, one of the fastest religions in the U.S. today is called Wicca. Have you heard of Wicca? One of the fastest cults in the U.S. today, Wicca. It's called Wicca because they don't want to call themselves witches because it has a negative connotation. They said it's Wicca. They say that there's this woman. Her name is Reverend Valerie Love. Reverend Valerie Love is the high priestess of this religion called Wicca. Here's one thing that I gotta warn you about. This woman claims to be a practicing Christian and an ordained minister. She argues that you can be a witch and a Christian at the same time. And she calls herself a practicing Christian witch and an ordained minister of spiritual consciousness. And here's the thing. She claims that she's able to tap into the underworld. She thinks she's able to. I actually believe it. I think she can. The Bible says that you can. The question is, are you supposed to? You're not supposed to mess with these things. You know, they say, well, you know, witchcraft is the oldest religion, even before Christianity. That's their argument of this religion of Wicca. They say, well, we've been here from the very beginning of time. There's always been a communication between the living and the dead, even before Christianity. That's the premise behind Wicca. They say it's not wrong to commune with the dead. It's not wrong to bring up the dead. They know things that they may be able to tell you. And that's what's going on here. King Saul wanted to talk to Samuel and say, Samuel, can you tell me, am I still going to be the king of Israel? Right? But I got to warn you today, Christians. One, don't mess with illicit street drugs. Two, do not mess with witchcraft. Don't mess with witchcraft. I'm telling you. You are going to open up portals that you cannot control. So yes, the spirit of Samuel did come up because he was in this place called Abraham's bosom. Okay? People say, well, Pastor, I thought when you die, you go straight to hell or you go to heaven if you're saved. Well, how do you answer that with this text right here? How do you explain this text right here? If people go to heaven and go to hell and that's it, then how come the spirit of Samuel came up? That was the other question I was asked last Sunday. Well, here's the thing. You're looking at the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you'll find it in Luke chapter 16. In the Old Testament, when people died, if you were saved, just like Lazarus, you went into Abraham's bosom. So Samuel, in this text, was not in hell. He was in Abraham's bosom. You'll find that in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man ended up in hell. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Abraham was there. That's why it's called Abraham's bosom. Jacob was there. Israel is there. Joseph is there. Was there. And so Samuel was there. So when this woman opened up the portals of this underworld, Samuel came up, and so did this evil spirits came up. Now, that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, go to Matthew chapter 27. Let me give you an answer to the person who asked me, well, what happens then? How is it possible for a spirit of the dead to come back up? That's in the Old Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 27. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 50. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, the Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And what happened in verse 52? The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. You understand what happened when Jesus Christ died? Everyone that died in the Old Testament that were saved, that went into Abraham's bosom, came up when Jesus Christ died. Abraham's bosom today is now empty. Ephesians chapter 4 says that. When Jesus Christ died, his soul went into that place called hell. He rescued the souls of those of the Old Testament saints and brought them back up with him. Now they are in heaven. If you died after the crucifixion, here's what's going to happen to you. I'm just going to explain it to you because I have a lot of verses here. If you died after the cross, after the crucifixion, if you're not saved, you go to hell. You don't come back ever until the judgment day. If you are saved, you go straight to heaven. You don't go to Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is empty now. If you die today after the crucifixion, you go straight to heaven. Amen? You go straight to heaven. If you're still alive today and Jesus Christ returns, here's something that's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For the sake of time, I'm going to explain it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so you can study it on your own. This is the entire premise of the gospel. The entire premise of the gospel is this. During the second coming, God will reconcile the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and the tribulation saints. The Bible says if you're alive during that time, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So these Old Testament saints will come down from heaven. The tribulation saints will resurrect back up. And the church age saints that died are also all going to meet up with him in the clouds. If you are alive, your body will be transformed into a new body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's close with this. You see? That's why Paul wrote to the Thessalonians that to the Christian, to those that are saved, death is not death. Death is nothing but sleep. Okay? Over and over, you'll find in the Old Testament and the New Testament, every time God is referring to those that are saved, to those who are his children, he doesn't say that they died. He says that they went to sleep. Over and over. Look at our text again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You understand what's going to happen? If you died in the Old Testament, you didn't really die. You went to sleep. You went into Abraham's bosom. If you died during the times that Jesus Christ was here, you didn't really die. You remember that young girl that Jesus Christ raised back up to life? And they said, no, you're out of your mind, Jesus Christ. Why are you saying that she's just sleeping? She's dead. When Lazarus died, you know what they said to Jesus Christ? You're a fool. Lazarus is dead. Why are you saying that he just went to sleep? You see, over and over, Jesus Christ refers to the death of the saints as nothing but sleep. Because one day, it could be 2020, right before the elections, or after, I don't know, or right after the elections, it could be tomorrow, it could be tonight, it could be as soon as we leave church, it could be right now as soon as I finish the service. The Bible says, come up hither. Behold, the clouds will open. You'll see Jesus Christ face to face coming down. You'll see all of the bodies of these dead saints in the Old Testament coming up. You'll see everyone that had gone before you that are saved. They're all coming up. And you look at one another. Your bodies will be transformed. Sister Lawyer's back pain will go away. Amen. Your hearing aid, Sister Connie, will be gone. There will be no need for that. Your glasses will disappear. You won't have a need for that. Your cancer will go away, Brother David. If you have cancer, if you have health conditions, all of that stuff will go away. Amen. Your aches and pains inside your body, all that stuff will go away. Your diabetes will go away. Your heart attack will go away. Your high cholesterol will go away. When that time comes, I tell you, the Bible promises us that we will have a new body. Amen? The question is, are you saved today? Are you saved today? If you are not saved today, there's a place that wasn't for you. It was for Satan and his angels. It's called hell. That place is real. That place is a physical place, is a horrible place, is a place of torment. That's going to be the place for you if you're not saved today. Every head bow, every eye closed. Sister Ruthie plays a couple of verses. Are you playing church? Are you playing religion? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a single thing that you can do not to go to hell. Not a single thing you could do. If there was something that you could do, if you could get baptized, if you could join the church, if you could practice religion, Jesus Christ would not have died. But the truth is, there isn't anything that you and I can do to keep our souls from ending up in hell. There's not a single thing that you can do. That's why he died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe with your heart that God had raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It's simple. It's simple. And it's real. Maybe you're messing with drugs and alcohol and marijuana, PCP, and you think these things are harmless. These things aren't going to affect my soul. Well, you just watch and stand by. You'll see. But please don't tell me that I never warned you, because I just did. You're messing with witchcraft, Ouija boards, palm readers, tarot cards, horoscopes. You want to keep messing with those things? Don't tell me that I did not warn you. I warned you. But the altar is open. If you need to come for any other reason, the altar is open. Hell is real, but heaven is also real.